Greetings, everyone. We want to give you a huge Revival Radio welcome today. Thank you so much for joining us. We are an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located here in Southern California. Now, today, Pastor John Miller continues his series in Romans called In the Grip of Grace. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Today, we consider God's providential care for us. When Paul says all things, he means all things. And God can bring good even out of what appears to be evil. He works every single circumstance of life into his great overall purpose for good in our lives. Let's join Pastor John Miller right now in Romans chapter 8 today with the message, All Things Working Together for Good.
Romans 8:28, Paul says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." If you are a child of God, you not only have a new life, you have a new relationship, you have a new hope, you have a new help. But tonight in Romans 8:28, we begin the section of a new knowledge, and that runs from verse 28 down to verse 30. Paul says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose." As Christians, we have absolute assurance of God's, and I'm going to call it providential care. Now, the word providence is not in the Bible, but the concept is from Genesis to Revelation. So we can be sure of, as God's people, of God's providential care, that every circumstance of our lives are under the control of an all-wise, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving Father in heaven. Now, that ought to just bring joy to your heart. If you are his child, nothing can come into your life but what it has to be filtered through your Father who is in heaven. Every hurt, every pain, every heartache, every situation, every circumstance must be filtered through and under the control of God, your Father, who is in heaven. Now, Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, another verse that I would use to parallel with Romans 8:28, he said, being confident, Romans 8:28 says, and we know, Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, we are confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You ever started a project and never finished it? I have. I've got something that still really bothers me. When I was a teenager, I promised my mom that I would paint the house. I got it half painted and went surfing. And I'm not exaggerating, for years and years, the house was half painted. I just said, that's what you call the half paint look. It's a new style, you know, you just paint half the house. And I'll be honest with you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to apologize to my mom. Mom, I'm sorry, I never finished painting that house for you. And maybe you start to read a book, I do this all the time, you start to read a book and you poop out about halfway through. Or you have a project, I'm going to go to the gym 4 days a week, and you go about once a year. And you set out to do something, and you never finish. Now, I say that because God doesn't do that. When God starts something, God finishes it. Amen? And he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What begins with grace will end in glory. Beginning of grace is the end of glory. What God starts in your life, God will complete. God will bring you to glory. And you can rest in that. All the way through Romans, opens with no condemnation, it ends with no separation. And in between, there is no defeat. And we're in a marvelous section of the book of Romans that you don't want to miss the next few Wednesday nights. And so Paul introduces us to five facts about God's providential care in verse 20. If you're taking notes, I want you to write them down. And this isn't just a cutesy little outline or a great little homiletic way to divide it up. These are essential points that are from this text that if you get them, it'll transform your life. The first fact of God's providential care, and by the way, providential care means that God is ruling and reigning and working in your life, that God is providentially overseeing, guiding, protecting, watching over your life. The first fact I see is it's certainty. Write that down. We can be sure and certain that God is providentially caring for me. This is seen in the phrase, verse 28. All these points are drawn from verse 28. And we know. Stop right there. And we know. We know. What is it we know? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You know, there's things that we don't know. But this is something we do know. If you back up in the text in verse 28... or verse 26, excuse me. He says, likewise also the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not, verse 26, what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he's speaking about the sufferings that will lead to the glory. And at the end of this section, he comes into verse 28, all things, including the sufferings. And one of the problems that we have in this world right now is that we're limited with knowledge and we don't always know God's will. And we don't always know how to pray according to the will of God, but we have a helper. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit groans within us. Now, we're groaning, but it's a kind of a joint participation of the Spirit of God working in the child of God, groaning according to the will of God. I'll never forget my dad. He is just a great, great man of prayer. And he's still alive. He's still with us. He's 90 years old. But he's just a man of prayer. And there were so many times that I would listen to him praying and he would just stop saying words and just start to cry and just start to groan and just start to agonize before the Lord. I'm sure that a lot of those groans were for his son, that God would work in his son's life. As a matter of fact, during my wayward years, my dad went away to a men's retreat like the ones we have. He tells me the story after my conversion. He says that a group of men went up on a mountain and they all band together and began to pray for their prodigal sons. I was one of them. And God answered that prayer. And I'm here today because of those prayers. So if you're a mother or a father and you got a prodigal son or daughter, the Holy Spirit groans. He groans within you and you intercede from your heart. But what a neat thing to know that He comes along to help me in my weaknesses. And you don't know how to pray. You don't know what you should pray. But He's helping you. But there is something we do know. We do know. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, we can't tarry too long on this point, but I want to point out what He doesn't say. He doesn't say, we see. He doesn't say, and we see all things working together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Have you ever been going through a difficult time and you've actually said, God, I don't see what You're doing. I don't see how any good can come out of this. I don't see why You allowed it. I don't understand. I don't know. Lord, I just can't comprehend. And that's because we walk by faith, not by sight. And even though we can't see all things working together for good, we can know. And notice He doesn't say, and we feel all things are working together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We can't see what God is doing, and we don't always feel God working. I've been there 1,000 times. God, I can't see. I can't see what good can come out of this. I don't see Your purpose or Your plan. And God, I don't feel You. I don't sense Your presence anymore in my life. And I just feel that You're so far. And I don't sense Your peace, or I lack the joy of the Lord. And I don't feel all things, but we do know all things. There's a vast difference. You say, well, how do we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Well, the answer to that could be quite lengthy, but let me give you a couple quick points. We know that because of God's person. God is the one working all things together for good, and God is good. Amen? If everything that comes into my life must be filtered through God, and I believe God is good, God can allow nothing in my life but what it will serve a good purpose for my good and for His glory. When I face a reversal or an opposition or a seemingly tragedy or I don't see or feel what God is doing, I fall back on what I do know, that God is good and I can trust Him. The second way that we know that all things work together for good is, again, God's promises. God has given to us His Word, and the Bible tells me that all things work together for good, and I believe it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, amen? So I know that He's a good God, and I know His Word is true, and He can be trusted and relied upon. And then the third answer is, of course, based on that, is that we know by faith. That's the simple answer. We know by faith because we trust His person and we rest in His promises. Someone said, I know not where His islands lift their fronded palms in the air. I only know I cannot drift beyond His love and care. How good that is. Even if you're in the hospital or you've lost employment, or you have a rebellious teenager, God is in control, and you can rest in Him and know for sure. The second thing I see about God's providence in this verse is the extent of His providential care. And this is a given, but it says in verse 28, all things. Now, I looked up that phrase in the Greek, and you know what it means? It means all things. Isn't that awesome? All things actually means all things. Every event of our life is under His beneficent, sovereign control. Even our suffering, as He mentions it back in verse 17. He says that if we suffer with Him, we will be glorified together. And even our groanings, in verse 23, and in verse 26, when we groan, it is all according to His will, and He is working all things. Bereavement, illness, disappointment, children who cause us pain, lack of fruit in Christian service, everything comes under this heading, all things. I love what Oswald Sanders said. He said, the circumstances of the Christian's life are ordained of God. There is no such thing as chance. Love refuses to believe that God is not interested in every detail of life. Everything is permitted and designed by Him for His wise purposes. He will not cease His supervision for one moment. And to that I say amen and amen and amen. Jesus said it like this, not one sparrow falls to the ground, but what God knows about it, right? Someone said, God attends the funeral of every sparrow. And guess what? You're of more value than many sparrows. The Bible says, not one hair falls from your head, but what God takes note of that. Some of you old timers don't put much, make it very hard on God. He looks at your head and just goes, zero. Used to have waves, and all you have is the beach. But I want you to know, as those hairs disappeared, you're going, yeah, it's easy for you to say, Pastor John. Every hair that comes off your head, God actually changes in this calculator. He punches a number, and He knows how many hairs are on your head. It's really a figure of speech for saying God is concerned about every detail of your life. So whatever it is that's bothering you right now, God is in control. It's part of His providential care. All things literally means all things. We don't need to be afraid. God is in control. Let me mention the third aspect of God's providential care. It says in verse 28, that they work together. Notice that little phrase, work together. You need to understand that individually and separately and by themselves, these all things may not be working for good. But God is able to take everything in your life and He homogenizes it, He blends it together, and He works it together for your good. Now, lest I forget, I think it's a little later in my message this evening, but lest I forget, let me make this clear that all things includes what we would call bad things. Like I said, bereavement and loss and pain and disappointment and lack of fruit in Christian service, whatever it might be that saddens our heart, that would be included in all things. But what God does is He takes all these things and He works them together for our good and for His glory. Now, something by itself may not be what we call good, but when God is working together, He produces good out of it. In other words, rather than not allow evil to exist, God chose to bring good out of evil. We know that God intermingles all things for good to those who love Him. And one of the best illustrations, there's many, but is that of cooking. And I'm not a cook by any stretch of the imagination. But you people that take ingredients, raw ingredients, like maybe when you make a cake and you blend the flour and the sugar, and I don't even know what goes in a cake, okay? I should have done a little research on my illustration. But, you know, you take all this stuff and, you know, you blend it together and you pop it in the oven and you bake it, and out comes a delicious cake. I know the eating part. I don't know the cooking part. But if you were to just take raw flour and go, throw it in your mouth, or take some other ingredients that you use for making a cake and try to eat it separated from the rest of the ingredients baked in the oven, and you try to eat it, it would be horrible. So life is full of these bitter experiences, but when God puts them together in our lives, and then He puts it in the oven, and He blends it together and works together, it comes out for our good. He's working continuously, and He is working purposely. And I believe that He's working seasonally, that there are seasons to life. You know, if our lives were all summer, then it would not be that great. I love the fall. If I had just picked the time of the year, my favorite is autumn or fall. And even winter, way over summer. And I just kind of persevere through the summers. And I can't wait for, you know, October to come and November to come. And what a blessing that is. But you know, your life is like seasons. You know, if life is like season, I'm living in Barstow all in August, all year round. And I don't believe that. I believe that God kind of has seasons to our lives and periods to our life. And when He teaches us and makes us and shapes us and molds us, and there's periods to our life. And I believe that as a Christian, every stage and phase of your life is marvelously and beautifully controlled by the providential care of God. Let me give you my fourth point tonight from Romans 8:28 about God's providence. And that is results of His providential care. The results of God's providential care are seen in that little phrase, for good. And we know all things work together, next phrase, for good. Why is God working in my life? Not to destroy you, not to ruin you, not because He's mad at you, not because He hates you, but He wants to make you like Jesus Christ. One of the most important things for you to understand is once you become a Christian, you begin a lifelong process known as sanctification. And the goal of sanctification is likeness to Jesus. And you will not be perfectly like Jesus until you are glorified. So it starts with justification. We get this in Romans. We are declared righteous. And then it moves into sanctification. We live righteously. And then it moves into glorification. And that's when we're free from sin, we're in the presence of God, and we're perfectly like Jesus Christ. But the goal of sanctification And what God is doing in your life tonight is trying to make you like Jesus. If you were to come up to me tonight and say, Pastor John, I don't know what God is doing in my life. I don't know what God's will is for my life. I can give you the answer. You know what it is? He's working in your life to make you like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. Now, there's a big gap between me and Jesus, and I got a long ways to go. But to be like Jesus, to see how he sees, to feel how he feels, to live the way Jesus lived, that's my prayer. And only the Holy Spirit can produce that in my life. And for that to happen, I have to spend time in the Word, I have to spend time in prayer, and then God has to allow suffering and sorrow and difficulty, and sometimes even misunderstanding and rejection and bereavement and loss and pain and other disappointments, because he's molding and shaping and chipping and trimming. Some of you, he's dynamiting. Now, why am I always going through a suffering and difficulties? Because you got a lot of stuff to blow up in your life. There's a lot of rough corners that need to be knocked off. And the sooner we surrender to him and yield to him, the sooner he can mold us and make us and shape us. Look at verse 29. Back up in Romans 8 to verse 29. In verse 29, or not back up, but go ahead, excuse me. He says, for whom he did foreknow, this is next week's study, he did predestinate to be conformed, here it is, to be conformed into the image of his son, that you might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is what God is doing in your life. We want to know, who do I marry? What job do I get? How many kids do I have? What kind of car to buy? But Jesus is concerned about making you like him. God is working to produce Christ-likeness in your life. Here's another quote, one of my favorite, by Oswald Sanders. He said, every adverse experience, when rightly received, catch that, rightly received, can carry its quota of good. Bodily pain, weakness, cause us to feel our frailty. Perplexity reveals our lack of wisdom. Financial reverses point up how limited our resources are. Mistakes and failures humble our pride. All these things can be included in the term good. Paul said, God gave me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Theologians have been perplexed since Paul wrote those words. What specifically was this thorn in his flesh? The answer, we don't know. Just thought I'd share that with you. You thought, oh, he's going to tell us what the thorn was. We don't know. I think fittingly so that we could all identify with it. Paul's thorn was some weakness in his flesh, but God gave it to him. God gives only good gifts. Now, in the context, we know why God gave it to him. We don't know what it was, but we do know why God gave it to him. You know why God gave it to him? To keep him humble. You go, I'm not interested in being humble. I'm interested in being comfortable. There's your problem.
By faith, we know that God has a purpose and a design for all things. We can accept what he allows in our lives because we know that God is good. We can trust him. Christian leader and author J. Oswald Sanders said, "The circumstances of the Christian's life are ordained of God. There's no such thing as chance. Love refuses to believe that God is not interested in every detail of life. Everything is permitted and designed by him for his wise purposes. He will not cease his supervision for one moment." And to this we say, amen. Everyone, this month we have a very special offer for all of you, our Revival Radio listeners. We would love to send you a free copy of Pastor John Miller's booklet entitled Recommended Reading. Now, I have one, and this is a fantastic tool for any Christian wanting to grow in their understanding of the Scriptures. Pastor John has compiled an extensive list of recommended books from his own library that pertain to each book of the Bible. So as a way to say thank you to you, our audience this month, we're giving this book away, check this out, for free. No strings attached, really. Simply give us a call at 866-973-8482. That's 866-973-8482, and we'll mail your copy off right away. Revival Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Now, we appreciate your prayers especially and your financial support as well. You can easily give a donation of any amount by visiting our website at revival.tv. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We don't take it for granted that you spend your time with us here, and we trust that this program is a blessing in your life. So won't you join us next time? Until then, may each of us continue to preach the word, be ready in season and out, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.